Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One,
Spotify,
and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of The Charlie Kirk Show on an action-packed news day. President Trump charges the park, exhibiting true courage. What is Antifa and what do they represent? America is still burning and looting is happening all across New York City and many other cities across the country. We break this all down and give you cutting-edge analysis right here on The Charlie Kirk Show. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Make sure to listen to the sister episode of this episode, our interview with Heather McDonald, which we drop simultaneously with this, which is a beautiful compliment to everything that we're talking about today. Buckle up, everybody. You are going to love this episode. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Boy, for all of those leftist trolls on Twitter that were trying to go after Donald Trump saying that he wouldn't leave his bunker while the White House was literally under attack by domestic terrorists, they must feel pretty foolish right now. Donald Trump gave a beautiful speech from the Rose Garden talking about national unity and calling out domestic terrorists. Play tape.
All Americans were rightly sickened and revolted by the brutal death of George Floyd. My administration is fully committed that for George and his family, justice will be served. He will not have died in vain. But we cannot allow the righteous cries and peaceful protesters to be drowned out by an angry mob. The biggest victims of the rioting are peace-loving citizens in our poorest communities. And as their president, I will fight to keep them safe. I will fight to protect you. I am your president of law and order and an ally of all peaceful protesters. But in recent days, our nation has been gripped by professional anarchists, violent mobs, arsonists, looters, criminals, rioters, Antifa, and others.
And President Trump said he's going to go to a place of significance. So people were clamoring and texting me and calling me, where is he going? What is he doing? And next thing you know, President Trump leaves the White House grounds without getting in the beast and walks across Lafayette Park with Defense Secretary Esper, with Attorney General Bill Barr, his Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. He has a Bible in hand and he is walking across Lafayette Park straight to St. John's Episcopal Church, the 205-year church we talk about later in this episode. We are going to mention it. And President Trump stands courageously right in front of that church, symbolizing that law and order will restore normalcy and regular life where chaos once was. It was an archetypical and metaphorical victory for the president. Understand that that very church was being shown on cable news channels and social media feeds as burning. The nursery was burning and the entire church was being threatened by those flames. And what does President Trump do the next day? Is he goes back right in front of that church with a Bible in hand and says, America's a great country and we are going to turn this country around. Took real courage. And I just have to say, holding up the Bible with true proclamation, saying that this Bible matters, that what is in the Bible matters, to me, was telling the entire world that we are going to get back to a moral order. I don't even know if the people that designed the idea of President Trump going out to the church and president, it was probably President Trump's idea because it was brilliant. It was the ultimate story of Western society, which is I'm going to confront that which is ruining me. I'm going to confront the darkest demon in our society. This is what makes us different than leftists. While the leftists go around with masks and Molotov cocktails President Trump walks with the Bible, the greatest book ever to exist in the history of the world, the book of moral order, the book of answers, the book that has been the inspiration of our entire society and everything that is decent and good and true in the world. He marches with that book, the Word of God, to the church that almost was engulfed by flames, to where the protesters and the rioters and the terrorists were the night before, and where the domestic terrorists might have plotted again to burn down that church. So President Trump metaphorically reassumed the mantle of victory against the anarchists. And for me watching it, I was getting emotional. I was getting emotional because I saw more than just a president that took a stroll in the open air, which is not insignificant, by the way. A president walking in open air is very rare to see. Very rare, especially on short notice with no pre-planning. I guarantee you the Secret Service were quite nervous about it. Guarantee it. President Trump walks in the open air, and it's more than just that. What I saw was a president that wanted to lead America back to victory on top of the chaos that has been plaguing our country literally and metaphorically the last couple months. Victory over the Chinese, victory over the virus, victory over the anarchists, victory over the division. And what did he have in his hand to show what is going to be pointing us to true north? What did he carry beside him to show us what is going to bring our country together? The book of Jesus Christ, the book of Moses, the book of Abraham, the book of the Ten Commandments, the book that inspired our entire civilization. I can't think of any other president in the modern era that would have done what President Trump did. President Obama would have acted like it didn't exist. President Clinton probably would have been sidetracked with other activities that he got himself in trouble for. But President Trump took the holy word of God and courageously marched where the rioters and the domestic terrorists once were. This is coupled with President Trump declaring that he's going to use the National Guard in more cities across America. We're seeing that as reports are coming in, some cities are a little bit quieter, some cities are not. New York City is still a mess. It's because of Mayor Bill de Blasio and Governor Andrew Cuomo's unwillingness to confront the evil head on because they don't want to be called mean names by people in their community. They don't want to be called mean terms by the Washington Post. By the way, this is the book that built our modern sense of equality, the Holy Bible. Galatians 3:28, which says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for all of you are one in Christ and Jesus." This was a document that formed the idea of equality under law. And President Trump does not go to secular humanist influences. Instead, he stood valiantly and courageously with the holy word of God, where the rioters were trying to burn down that 205-year church. And he says, not again, no more. Order, not chaos. Law, not anarchy. Success, not misery. Flourishing, not dismay. That's what that represented. Not to mention, it represented a president that had stones the size of Philadelphia. I mean, I can't think of any other president that would have done anything like that. Maybe Dwight D. Eisenhower. Maybe. And the press is conveniently ignoring and maligning the fact that President Trump charged the rioters head on. That President Trump charged that which was plaguing our country. And I wish every single person listening to this podcast takes that as inspiration right now. What is bothering you personally? It might be alcoholism, it might be drug addiction, it might be infidelity, it might be lying. Do what Trump did. What he did was not easy. What he did was the hero's journey. He very well could have put himself in a compromising situation. He very well could have had this go horribly. There were thousands of rioters not too far away from what he was doing. But metaphorically and archetypically, he fulfilled what is best and beautiful about the United States of America. We're a country of victors, not of victims. We recognize that bad things happen to us, and we still rise up, and we make today a better day than yesterday. And yes, we will make America great again, once again, with President Trump as the leader of the free world. So now I want to take a step back and still assess where we are as a country. America is burning. America's on fire. It seems like there, every corner of the country has been impacted by domestic terrorism. Right here, right now, we have 40 U.S. cities that have instituted curfews. The National Guard has been activated in 15 states, including Washington, D.C. To be honest with you, I'm watching cable news right now, and it is absolute mayhem. It's an assault on law and order. I tweeted, and I stand by this clearly and definitively, and I encourage you to check out our exclusive interview with Heather McDonald and to check out my interview with Candace Owens. Go back in the archives and listen carefully. Because before I go any further, I'll tell you about my tweet and the reaction to it and the importance of it, of a specific thing the president should do to restore law and order in our country. But if I have to look at one more sanctimonious social media post from someone that has no idea what they're talking about with police brutality, I'm going to lose it. There are people all across the country, specifically in suburban America, that have these long, factless, baseless posts. I'm not talking about the ones that say we need to bring America together or that we need to pray for America. Fully support that. I'm talking about the ones where people say, I stand with the protesters, or we need to do better about white supremacy and white privilege. You have no idea what you're talking about. Literally, you're a fool. If foolishness is allowed to go uncorrected, lies will become the new truths. This is Orwellian in real time. And so I want you to listen very carefully to this episode, because I am done seeing our country get burned alive. I'm done seeing 205-year-old churches outside of the White House almost get burned down and have the nursery go down in flames. I am done seeing the College Football Hall of Fame be looted and rioted with historical memorabilia completely stolen by thugs. And they are thugs. And people say, well, Charlie, you should say thugs. That is racist. If you think me using the term thug is racist, then you're the racist if you immediately think that I'm talking about black people when I say thug. A thug can be anyone, red, black, green, purple, or orange, that does not respect the rule of law. So I tweeted out, and I got a lot of traction, that the president should sign the Insurrection Act. The Insurrection Act is a law passed in 1807. It gives the president of the United States the power to deploy active U.S. military troops on U.S. soil. It was used in 1992 when the governor of California requested federal assistance in response to riots in L.A., but has not been enacted since. And before I go further on this, I'm reading some of these sanctimonious, long Facebook posts of these people that have been completely misinformed on this issue. And they're saying, well, this really divides America and it shows the true white supremacist instincts of our country. We're going to go into some of the nonsense journalism that has been floating around. I want you to do this right now for me and email me freedom@charliekirk.com. Find me one person that is not an anonymous Twitter account that might be run by a leftist or by a foreign government who is defending the murder of George Floyd. Do you know how I know this person doesn't exist? If this person existed, they would be on CNN. If this person existed, they would be on Morning Joe. They'd be profiling this person and acting as if this person is a mainstream voice. They don't exist. Even the most ardent pro-cop, pro-police activists out there are not defending Derek Chauvin. Real police officers that care about their communities are actually disgusted by this. And they're equally as disgusted about how they're being looped in to a broad indictment of our people in blue. Minneapolis police officers do their job to protect innocent individuals from criminals. So President Trump has just declared Antifa, and we're going to have a whole episode diving into Antifa, their funding sources, their origination, where they come from, and the danger that they pose to America. Antifa is a domestic terror organization. The president has just declared that Antifa is a domestic terror organization. But let's define what domestic terrorism is. These are not rioters anymore, and they're definitely not protesters. These are terrorists. Domestic terrorism means activities that involve acts dangerous to human life that are in violation of the criminal laws of the United States or of any state. They appear to be intended to intimidate, to coerce a civilian population, to influence the policy of a government by intimidation or coercion, or to affect the conduct of a government by mass destruction, assassination, or kidnapping. And these occur primarily within the territorial jurisdiction of the United States. Senator Tom Cotton is the only voice that I've seen And he's one of the only voices out there at all, but one of the only voices I've seen in Congress that has called for the president to enact the Insurrection Act. I did the same. He said the following: if necessary, the president should use the Insurrection Act to deploy active duty military forces to these cities to support our local law enforcement and ensure that this violence ends tonight, not one more night. He continued, what the president can do is say that justice will be done in accordance with the law for George Floyd, and we will always respect the right of peaceful protest. But the rioting, the anarchy, and the looting ends tonight. He finished by saying, if the law enforcement is overwhelmed, let's see how these anarchists respond when the 101st Airborne is on the other side of the street. They are cowards. This is exactly right. Not one more night. Now, some people are saying, well, it's understandable how angry they are. No, it's not understandable. It's not. Listen to that Heather McDonald interview. That's all I'm going to say. We're not going to go into the same stats and statistics that she says, because she says them better than I do, and she deserves credit. So go to the other episode and dive deep on the lie of police brutality in America. What I am going to talk about is media bias, the lack of love for our country from the left, and the need to restore order immediately. I'm going to be honest. I've been underwhelmed by some of our politicians on how silent they have been. I privately texted some U.S. senators over the weekend, and they said, yeah, this is scary. I literally threw my phone at the wall. I had to get a new phone. Because I said, this is scary? We elect you to interface with law enforcement, to interface with our government, to protect us. This is scary. Do something about it. Because guess what? I'm going to tell you right now where this is headed. If the government lets this go on another one or two nights, and I do not support this, I'm just telling you this is going to happen. Big difference between predicting and supporting. Americans are going to rise up and protect their cities. There are more guns than human beings in America, and almost all of them are owned by lawful individuals. I do not want to see it get to that. I want to see someone that has the capacity and the authority to enforce the law. I do not want to see citizens rise up and protect our cities, but that's what it might have to come to. These thugs must be thrown in jail immediately, and we must not give one single inch. During Monday's press briefing, Kayleigh McEnany was asked about this very question. Play tape.
Governor Whitmer, she said she found the president's call today deeply disturbing, and she said the president told the governors they need to put it down or they would be overridden. So what, I mean, is there a specific authority he's using? Because as you know, Posse Comitatus really prevents the use of the army to put down domestic insurrection of any kind.
Yeah, I don't know why Governor Whitmer would be dismayed at the president telling governors to do their job. It is their responsibility to police their streets. They have the police power embedded in the Constitution. They have quite clearly, many of them, failed to do their job. Look at the scenes we have seen. And it's gotten to the point where today the president has said, enough is enough. You know, there are tools I can use, namely deploying National Guard, many others that Steve cited one, the Insurrection Act. It's one of the tools available. Whether the president decides to pursue that, that's his prerogative. Right now, we're looking at a focus on the National Guard. That's where it currently stands.
So now that every option is on the table, this is just one tool that must be used now. Let's be perfectly clear. This is the most violent terrorist attack on American soil since 9/11. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar both have vocally supported and participated in these rallies and riots. AOC, we know, has. And Ilhan Omar has vocalized support. I don't know if she's participated in them, but AOC has participated. The president was right to classify Antifa a domestic terror group. I want you to imagine for a second that what was happening in these inner cities, if they were doing that under Confederate flags, do you think for a minute that this would allow to continue night after night? Oh, they're just burning off some steam. They're mad. Let's give them space to destroy our civilization. If the individuals doing this had Confederate flags and were white supremacists, I'm not necessarily equating that if you have a Confederate flag, you are a white supremacist, but you understand the argument that I'm making. If these individuals were white supremacists, this would not be allowed to continue for half of a night, not even an hour. Yet the fact that they're on the far left and they're Antifa and they happen to be wearing masks so they're hard to identify, isn't that convenient? That they just happen to tell us that we have to wear masks, and it just puts up right next to a domestic terror operation in our country. But let's actually focus in on the alleged accusation that this is all random. I have big doubts about the randomness here. There's a reason why there are now multiple reports of random piles of bricks that are being placed at these sites of the riots. This is an audio delivery podcast, so I can't show you pictures of this. But you can go to my Twitter feed, at CharlieKirk11. I encourage you to do it. And I have pictures of these piles and pallets of bricks that just are showing up randomly across the country. Who is delivering them? Who is paying for them? Who's coordinating the delivery of them? Just to give you an example, here on the Charlie Kirk Show, when we order a new desk, it is an act of at least 6 or 7 people that are involved in shipping the desk, signing for the desk, making sure the desk gets delivered. If you're ordering bricks into an urban city, this is a very sophisticated, coordinated effort of physical infrastructure to destroy our country. Here's one example. Police in Kansas City, Missouri, told residents in a tweet on Sunday, quote, "We have learned of and discovered stashes of bricks and rocks in and around the plaza and Westport to be used during a riot. If you see anything like this, you can text 911 and let us know so we can remove them." Kansas City is not a place I would play games. I would imagine many people in Missouri and in the state of Kansas, yeah, I know my Missouri-Kansas geography, a lot of NRA members around there. And I'm not supporting civil response to this, meaning civilians rising up. But it's going to lead to that if our police don't do our job and our government does not step up. Similar reports are even coming in across the country, even in Manhattan. Speaking of Manhattan, did you know that Bill de Blasio's daughter participated in the protests and got arrested? What a great father he is. He really has gone out of his way to instill the values of decency and respect. Bill de Blasio is the worst politician in America next to Mayor Eric Garcetti, and he said he supported her behavior. Human scum is what Bill de Blasio is. This is a coordinated attack on America. Did Bill de Blasio know about this? Did some of these mayors know about this? Here is a tweet by Bernard B. Carrick, a friend of mine, former New York City police commissioner, that went viral expressing this. Quote, "Is there anyone that truly believes that this was not an organized event? How much do you think it would cost for communications and travel and manpower for an event like this? Whose money's behind this?" And below is a map that shows Seattle, Portland, Las Vegas, LA, Nashville, Dallas, Cincinnati, Chicago, Salt Lake City, Minneapolis, Cleveland, New York City, the White House, and Atlanta all on fire. It's a very telling graphic. Senator Ted Cruz responded to the tweet by effectively saying, "Bernard brings up some very good points. This is an attack on America. This is not a demonstration about George Floyd. This is not about looting and getting merchandise. This is a military operation against our country." Now, I don't know how deep this goes. I just spoke off the record with someone that served in the agency, who served at the highest levels of government, and also has served in many different forms of international military operations. And he says, without a doubt, he has been briefed on intelligence that this is an attack on our country. This is coordinated. This is no longer about justice. This is no longer about police brutality. This is about sowing civil discord, turning people against each other to start a civil war in America. Our adversaries, the Chinese Communist Party and the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, they know that they cannot beat us militarily. We have the most beautiful, unbelievable military in the history of the world. By beautiful, I mean that the unbelievable power that they have, the sophistication, the specificity, it's a beautiful thing that a good country, a benevolent superpower like America has that power. That's what I mean by beautiful. They can never take us down, but they can turn us against each other. They can sow discord. The Stalinists and the Russians used to brag about this back in the 1960s and 70s, and this was revealed through declassified CIA testimony. Now, here's the significance of labeling Antifa a domestic terror group. It does a couple very important things. Number one, it allows the FBI and DOJ to monitor these terror cells. All digital communications can now be tracked and sourced. Now, I'm a Fourth Amendment guy. I don't want my phones to be tapped or to be wired. I don't want my president to be spied on. But I do believe that we have these FISA courts for a reason, to be used and not abused. And by golly, when our cities are on fire like this and 170 black businesses are being subject to arson, I think that's a pretty good time to use the FISA court process, not to spy on an incoming president because you were upset that he won an election. And it just made me think, all it took was a sophisticated paramilitary operation to make us stop caring about the Chinese coronavirus. I saw this picture of the streets of Boston, of probably 3,000 people in the streets that weren't even close to being socially distanced. So the mayors across America, Democrat mayors, spent weeks attacking Christians for taking the blood and body of Jesus Christ while keeping marijuana shops open and now letting thugs run rampant, destroying banks, destroying churches, all without being arrested. This is the left's dream for America. Do not give them an inch. This is their end game. They believe that if they could stir up enough anarchy in our country, defend it or passively support it like they are, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar, they can make America in such unbelievable discord that no matter who you are, you would vote the current president out of office. And if you still think this is just the voices of the oppressed spontaneously coalescing in mostly peaceful protests, think again. There is a piece of information that I'm going to share with you that will blow your mind. But first, as America starts to reopen and we start to get back to business, it is critical that you have the tools needed to succeed. Smart companies run on NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. With NetSuite, you have the visibility and control over your finances, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need all in one place. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in sales, NetSuite lets you manage every single penny with precision. You'll have the ability to compete with anyone, work from anywhere, and run your whole company right from your phone. Join over 20,000 companies you trust NetSuite to make it happen. NetSuite surveyed hundreds of business leaders and assembled a playbook of the top strategies they're using as America reopens for business. Receive your free guide, 7 Actions Businesses Need to Take Now, and schedule your free product tour at netsuite.com/Kirk. Get your free guide and schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/Kirk. That's netsuite.com/Kirk. So again, if you think these are just peaceful protests that are just spontaneous, think about this tweet from law professor Jonathan Turley. There's only two explanations out of this tweet, and one of them is even worse than the original accusation that I made. He said this: "We have learned that two of those arrested for throwing Molotov cocktails at police vehicles are attorneys, people that passed the bar. Collinford Mattis, 32, is a prior Cashman associate and graduate of NYU and Princeton. Aruj Rahman is a human rights lawyer and graduate of Fordham." Well, I would hope they get disbarred over this. I hope that they would lose their law license for throwing Molotov cocktails at police vehicles. These are people that are supposed to be sworn to protect the law, to protect those that are accused, to defend the innocent. And Collinford Mattis and prior Cashman went to the most elitist institutions in America. And this validates what we say every single day at Turning Point USA, tpusa.com. And you better get involved at Turning Point USA if you care about the future of our country. As Dennis Prager says, there are three types of people: the people that do nothing or help the enemy or are the enemy. The second types of people are the fighters. The third type of people are the people that help the fighters. A lot of us listening right now, you want to fight? Join Turning Point USA. You want to help the fighters? Go to tpusa.com and help the fighters. Because you have people right now that are graduating from our universities that are domestic terrorists. I want you to imagine if one person who attended a Jordan Peterson lecture ended up throwing a Molotov cocktail. They would say that Jordan Peterson is inciting domestic terror all across our country. No one will accuse NYU, Princeton, or Fordham of creating domestic terrorists. People that are throwing Molotov cocktails in the streets, they should be disbarred and thrown in prison for a decade. So what is Trump saying about all this? On a call with the nation's governors, he did the right thing. He called them out. He said they are, quote, weak. He urged them to dominate. Kaylee McEnany, who was a previous guest on the Charlie Kirk Show, please go back and download, was asked to clarify this dominating in the streets comment, not dominating peaceful protesters. And she said it's about dominating the streets. Well, I think you should dominate the thugs, so I don't really care much about the comment, to be honest with you. My patience is gone. Bring in the military. Protect our cities. Oh, we have to try to de-escalate the situation. These are anarchists. These are not people that are going to sit down for a nice civil discourse and hope that we can come to agree to disagree. I understand these maniacs. I fight them every single day at Turning Point USA and college campuses. This is a whole different level of militarization. This is a whole different level of sophistication, probably propped up by a foreign government, probably aided by our own college professors and universities. So there's no more like, oh, well, we just have to listen to their demands. They will burn our country down, and they'll come for your city next. They're talking about coming to suburban America. They've already been shown up in certain suburbs in Maryland. And you might live in urban America. You might live in rural America. I don't know where you live. But if you think you are not going to be touched by this, you're wrong. These people will stop at nothing. Just ask the French during the French Revolution. President Trump also mentioned the Occupy Wall Street movement and said it was a, quote, disgrace. He's right. That was ended by governors and mayors finally being tough. The president said that the people arrested at the protest should serve 10-year prison sentences. Minimum. How about like 25 mandatory minimums? The president should go out immediately, give a press conference and say this. If you're protesting, it will be the biggest mistake in your life. Now, by protesting, I mean rioting, okay? If you are rioting, the moment you throw a Molotov cocktail, I will work with the Attorney General of the United States for a 20-year minimum prison sentence. And guess what? We know who many of you are. We have facial recognition technology. We have the ability to track cell phone data. We will find you. We will convict you. I understand you have not been getting adequate love from your parents lately, but your exercise in burning the world down ends now. You little feckless, weakless pile of garbage that is burning down black-owned businesses in Minneapolis or Atlanta. Go meet the 101st Airborne. Good luck. That's all he needs to say. These people are terrorists, and we know from dealing with terrorists in the Middle East that you don't negotiate with terrorists. And I'm not saying kill these individuals. I am very much against you using lethal force unless absolutely necessary as a defensive weapon for law enforcement. I do not believe in lethal force as an offensive weapon. But I can tell you what, the 101st Airborne or the Navy SEALs or the Marines, if you bring them into U.S. cities under the Insurrection Act, these little cowards that think that they're protesting some injustice doesn't exist, they'll run home. And guess what? We have more footage than we've ever had before. And I know a lot of good people in the Bureau, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and I go after them quite a lot. But I go after the suits, not the boots. And the people in the Bureau and the people in the Secret Service, there were over 50 Secret Service agents hurt. Guess what? The Secret Service was originally founded as a way to go after counterfeit currency. They have total power to arrest anyone in the country. So just because the riots are over, you think you got away with it, they will find you. The Secret Service, I've dealt with them. They are the most heroic, patriotic, hardworking agency in all of government. If anyone deserves a pay raise, it is the United States Secret Service. I see they work 40 hours without sleeping sometimes, going after their protectees. I mean, going after, meaning protecting their protectees at all cost. I've seen it firsthand with Donald Trump Jr. and the president and Ivanka and Jared and Eric. And guess what? They take care of their own. These are military folks and police folks that have graduated the top level of personal security. And the fact that 50 Secret Service agents were heard outside the White House, and if you're mad like I am, well, rest assured, they have their own agency of enforcement. The Secret Service doesn't have to get something signed off by the DOJ. They can do their own arrests straight to the DOJ. So if you've been rioting outside the White House and you think you pulled a fast one on them, wait a day, wait a week. And if you did throw a Molotov cocktail at the White House, or you did throw a brick or whatever they were throwing, I sure hope you get the justice that you deserve. Do you want to get people out of student loan debt? Well, I'm going to tell you about Credible. Credible.com is an online marketplace that gets you pre-qualified student loan refinancing rates for up to 10 different lenders. They are the best in the business when it comes to renegotiating student loan debt. They help people get out of student loan debt. If you've got student loan debt, you could benefit. With a lower rate, you could save on interest or lower your monthly payment. And with a shorter loan term, you could get debt-free faster. Consolidate all your student loan bills in one place. Credible customers have given awesome reviews about how much better their lives have been after refinancing their student loans. On Credible, you see actual pre-qualified rates from up to 10 different lenders. It only takes a couple minutes to check rates, and checking rates does not impact your credit. They never sell your data, so you won't receive spam and phone calls from dozens of lenders. So please visit Credible.com/Charlie. That's Credible.com/Charlie. When you refinance your student loans using this link, they'll give you a $200 gift card and your Yang style. If you're being crushed by the cartel of the colleges, go to Credible.com/Charlie. Credible.com/Charlie. I know you're getting crushed by student loan debt. This is the way out. So now I want to share with you how the media is representing this. And I understand to a certain extent the sanctimonious social justice posts that are being done by suburban soccer moms trying to make themselves feel cool and hip. I mean, I was driving through a suburb just recently and I saw 20 people that had a sign that said, "Justice for George Floyd." And I literally said to myself, we all agree. Like, I don't know what you're protesting. I don't know who you think is against you. Like, find me a human being that does not agree with you. Find me one, please. Because if they existed, they would be on CNN quickly. They'd be on MSNBC. And the other thing is, we arrested this cop quicker than any other arrest I've ever seen in the history of law enforcement. And that didn't quell down the protests at all. So if anyone is trying to say, well, this is for George Floyd, this is for George Floyd. If it was for George Floyd, exhibit evidence A. Why is it after we arrested the person responsible for third-degree murder, the arson got worse? The riots got worse. Exhibit B. Why did his brother say, stop doing this? Why does his brother plead on national television asking people to stop burning things down? This is not George Floyd. This is about dismantling an entire system, a piece of language that the left uses quite often. And Charlemagne the God used that in a conversation he had with Rush Limbaugh. And we'll get to that later in the show. Charlemagne the God says, we have to dismantle the system. We have to dismantle the police. Well, a good way to dismantle the police is to burn down police stations like you have. Now, I'm sympathetic to an extent to some of these sanctimonious posts because people like Ellie Mistall, who is a justice correspondent at The Nation, which is a leftist rag, which has a pop-up featuring a smiling communist named Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, wrote an article that said this. There's only one possible conclusion. White America likes its killer cops. First of all, just describing a portion of America as white America, I just think is so racist. You don't know what we believe. You are overly generalizing. You're using the same type of racism that Joe Biden always uses. And the byline is this. There's a straight line connecting Derek Chauvin to Amy Cooper. And that line is white support of police violence. Now, mind you, Ellie Mistall has in his Twitter bio that he's a justice correspondent at The Nation and strong against Republicans. What even is a justice correspondent? By the way, justice is supposed to be blind. This guy is probably blind to the truth, but he's not blind to impartiality. I don't know if he's ever found a fact in anything he has ever written in the history of probably the thousands of words of commentary that he's done. So in the reference to the killing, Mistall writes this. The police didn't stop. The police are never going to voluntarily stop killing black and brown people. The killings will continue until a majority of whites in this country make the killing stop, end quote. There's no evidence here. According to our other episode with Heather McDonald, please check it out, during a specific period of time, 9 unarmed black people were killed by police officers in 1 year. 9. Not 900, not 9,000, 9. Now that's 9 too many. But even the way the Washington Post defined that statistic is awfully questionable, and Heather McDonald goes into it. Please listen to that episode. That is all about stats. That is all about a defense of the police. He continues by saying this. The police work for white people, and they know it. White people know it, too. Deep down, white people know exactly whom the police are supposed to protect and serve, and they damn well know it's not black and brown people, end quote. What on earth is this journalistic arsonist talking about? He's literally committing arson with words when he's saying this. He is giving license to actual arson and burning down our cities. There's no statistics. There's no facts. There's innuendo. The fact that any publication is allowed to publish this is a disgrace to the English language. Later in the article, Mistall writes, but white people don't stop their cops. What do you mean their cops? What are you talking about? A majority of them clearly want the cops to behave this way. They want the viciousness. They want the horror, end quote. This is the most racist garbage you will read. It is impugning the character of an entire race in one article. If that's not racist, I don't know what is. But if you dare challenge this man and challenge the narrative that is completely false, totally emotive, 100% pathological, then all of a sudden you're part of white systemic racism and they will work to silence you, which probably means they're going to work to burn down your building and maybe put your family in harm's way. And so now I want to go over to this email I got from Rolling Stone. And Rolling Stone is, they have become a spokesperson for every, if you want hate America, if you are a member of the Chinese Communist Party, you're probably a subscriber to Rolling Stone. And just in one email, the headlines, the first said this, here, resources for those seeking to help anti-police brutality protesters, bail funds, legal aid, and other organizations working to help activists seeking justice for George Floyd and other victims of police violence. The first thing they have in their email is a launching pad and a how-to guide and basically an Angie's List so you can commit domestic terrorism. Rolling Stone has now created Craigslist for people that want to burn down our country. Riots are not protests. Riots are acts of domestic terror. I want you to imagine something. Go look at any of these pictures of the rioters. Be honest with yourself. If every single one of those people were white protesting anything, whether it was righteous or evil, which we've seen both in our country's history, do you think that Rolling Stone would be sending out a 101 guide for resources seeking to help anti-police brutality? This is how a country burns, by the way. I cannot overstate the significance of what's happening right now. We are so close to losing everything we care about. And I was on the phone with some people and they're shrugging it off and they say, oh, we've been through this before and we've seen riots. Oh, no, no, no. We have not seen a press so pathological. We have not seen a political class so protective. And we have not seen a well-engineered national effort to destabilize and create civil war in our country ever. And I'm going to do an entire podcast talk about the history of riots in America, from the Haymaker riot to the Whiskey Rebellion to when the Insurrection Act was used before. We are going to do that podcast. I'm going to dive deep into the history of riots. We've never seen anything like this. Heather McDonald talked about this on her exclusive interview with the Charlie Kirk Show. Please go back and listen to it. I know I've said it once. I'm going to say it probably three more times because it's so informative and it's so important. Here's some of the other headlines from this Rolling Stone gem of an email. Jay-Z, quote, I am more determined to fight for justice than any fight my would-be oppressors may have, end quote. Now, Jay-Z's literally a billionaire. Now, I don't know if he's actually at a billion, but he's worth hundreds of millions of dollars and married to Beyonce, okay? Jay-Z and Beyonce's brand, probably worth at least $1 billion. Jane Fonda, who's never found a fact in her life, who is still searching for a logical truth for herself to state, says this. On ending white privilege, which doesn't exist and is a racist idea, quote, we have to try to change within ourselves, end quote. Barack Obama is also highlighted here. He says, let's get to work. Obama pens essay about turning protests into real change with a picture of him smugly smiling stoically in the distance. Are you guys worried about computer security? Our country's burning right now. Burning. And that means the attackers and the hackers are looking at new ways to get into our computers and get into your data. Because they see this as an opportunity. They are licking their chops. The Chinese Communist Party is waiting for a way to get into your computer. And if you do not have a service like PC-Matic, which is a whitelist next-generation antivirus system, you might as well just invite the Chinese Communist Party into your living room, cook them dinner, and give them your data. The offer is PC-Matic.com/Charlie. They protect Windows computers, including XP Vista, Windows 7, 8, and 10. They block annoying and malicious ads for hassle-free web browsing, and they make your computers faster and more reliable even after years of use. Only PC-Matic has American research, development, and support. Made in America, for Americans, not by the adversaries of our country. Get world-class security that keeps your computers running great. Go to PC-Matic.com/Charlie. PC-Matic has offered my listeners a free month of security protection with the purchase of an annual license. So basically free money. It's PC-Matic.com/Charlie. PC-Matic.com/Charlie. So from some garbage media, now I want to go to just to a garbage radio show. The king of radio, one of my all-time favorite human beings and a friend of mine, Rush Limbaugh, is actually part of this story. He went on The Breakfast Club, and I have to say, he handled The Breakfast Club better than any other Democrat could possibly could have. He crossed these guys up. He was magnanimous. He was terrific. Rush Limbaugh, who, by the way, still fighting lung cancer, he went on with Charlemagne the God, who is a fool. The guy is so, he's never made a coherent argument in the history of the spoken word. He hasn't, and that's fine, and he has a right to be wrong every single day on talk radio. He speaks in vacuous innuendo, factless, baseless, divisive rhetoric. I think that Rush, quite frankly, went on The Breakfast Club to pursue meaningful dialogue, large in part because he sees the country burning and he wants to be part of bringing the country together. And for that, I think Rush Limbaugh is a hero. Charlemagne the God is also famous for hosting Joe Biden when he said, if you're having trouble deciding whether to vote for me or vote for Trump, you ain't black. And so I want to read a couple of these sound bites from this explosive discussion. But first, I want to play tape.
Let me ask you a question, Russ. This is sure. Charlemagne talking. We've seen numerous police killings of unarmed black people in this country. Why is the George Floyd situation the one that's making you say enough is enough and this needs to stop? Why this situation in particular?
Because I'm fed up with it. I'm not tolerant of any of them. But I'm fed up with it, Charlemagne. None of this. See, to me, and I know that you're going to disagree with me on this. Mm. To me, this is not America. It's a sad.
Oh no, it's definitely America.
Well, see, but it's not what we can be. It's not what we have been. We're the greatest nation in history of the world, and we haven't achieved that on the basis
for who, though, Russ? I think it's easy for you to say because you're a white male, and that comes with a different level of privilege. And I do think America does work, but it works for the people that it was designed to work for. It doesn't work for everybody else the way it works for you.
Well, it can. That's the point of America. It can for anybody who wants to adapt to it, for anybody who wants to try to take advantage of the unique opportunities that exist in the United States.
Now, mind you, this is the foundation of the Democrat Party and the left-wing media today. They don't believe our country is great or ever was great. They have this ridiculous, nonsensical belief that our country was just built for white people. If our country was just built for white people, why are the richest, the most prosperous individuals in America per race, which I don't even like talking about this, per race because I look at us as individuals first, but why is it Asian Americans? The Constitution was not designed by Asians. It was not written in Korean. It means that any individual that applies themselves correctly in our society can succeed. You don't seek to radically change that which you love. The Democrat Party has become a party of total dismantling and destruction of the American idea. And I hope some of you listening to this show that have been listening for some time that have sent me those emails. Sometimes you said, Charlie, I don't know if Democrats really want to see the world burn. I've seen your emails and I hear you and thank you for communicating with me. I hope you'll revisit that. Because it's pretty clear right now that the base of the Democrat Party is supporting the arson of America. Rush then went on to criticize the Antifa types. Charlemagne, the philosopher, points out that it's not just the Antifa types, but it's people of all races who are frustrated with the state of America in lockdown that are rioting and looting. Roll tape.
Now, the people ripping up the streets today and last night, the Antifa types, they don't care to find the op. They disagree with the whole construct of America.
Well, no, I got to push back on you with that, too. It's not just the Antifa types. You know what I'm saying? Like you see all these white folks out there protesting, looting, raising hell. You know what I'm saying? Let's not act like there isn't 40 million people who have filed for unemployment in America. Folks been sitting around the last 3 months waiting on stimulus checks. More than 44% of those people have been denied unemployment checks are still waiting on them to come. People of all races are broke. They don't know where their next meal is coming from. Their savings are exhausted. If they had any, they don't know how they're going to pay bills. So, of course, they're going to go out there and loot. Of course, they're angry and frustrated.
Unnecessarily, it turns out. Unnecessarily. There's no reason to shut down the country. There was no reason to lock everybody. Of course, you put 40 million people out of work and tell them, you know, you penalize them when they do try to open their businesses. You're going to create a powder keg. A powder keg has been created.
So Rush is 100% spot on here. If the premise Charlemagne is proposing is correct, then it's not systemic racism that's to blame. It's Democrat lockdown policies which created a powder keg waiting to explode. We were one of the first shows to argue for this on our Sunday episode. Please go back and download and take a listen to it. Charlemagne then goes on to call the, quote, killing of black people a regular occurrence. This is a lie. This is false. This is, again, why you need to go listen to our episode we just dropped simultaneously with Heather McDonald. Because the truth is, nine unarmed black men were killed by cops last year. Nine. A police officer is 18 and a half times more likely to be shot by a black person than an unarmed black person is to be shot by a police officer. 18 and a half times. I wish Rush Limbaugh would have mentioned it, but I know he was trying to be magnanimous, and I think he handled it beautifully for trying to heal our country. But the most important part of the interview was this. Roll tape.
Okay, period. So let me ask you guys, why do you still vote Democrat?
I vote for whoever I think is the best candidate.
Because the Democrat Party has been promising to fix your grievances for 50 years, and you have the same grievances, you have the same complaints. They haven't done a damn thing for you. They haven't even punished the people that you think are responsible for the racism and bigotry being done to you. Why do you keep supporting them?
And, And you know, I don't disagree with you, and that's why I'm not letting nobody politicize black pain and tell us that this is one person's fault just because they are trying to win an election in November. This is America's fault. And the war on drugs, mass incarceration, segregation, slavery, all of those things are and have been the proverbial knee on the back of black folks' neck. And until somebody is willing to dismantle the mechanism of white supremacy, nothing is going to change.
Let me say this once. I'll say this twice. And I'll say this every single day of the Charlie Kirk Show and every day that I am on this planet fighting for freedom and liberty and American history and for the beauty of our country. Because I'm going to be in this fight for a long time. And thank you for supporting us and thank you for getting behind us. But we are just ramping up for a culture war that none of the prognosticators or pundits in the ruling class Republican elite recognize or realize because they're cowards. And I'm going to say this every day. America is not a racist country. We are the least racist country ever to exist in the history of the world. The premise of the left's argument, of Charlemagne's argument, is completely and totally wrong. The Democrats have been promising to, quote, fix black Americans' grievances for 50 years. Joe Biden was in office for 44 years. What has he done for black America? They don't care. The Democrats have always been the party of slavery. The Democrats have always been the party of racism, and they are to this day. Pelosi, Maxine Waters, Chuck Schumer, they have dominated the Democrat ruling class for decades and have done nothing for black America. Why are the protesters not protesting Amy Klobuchar's office? The woman who did not convict Derek Chauvin when she had a chance when she was in office of the Minnesota Prosecutor's Office in Minnesota. But Charlemagne the God, the philosopher, who's a fool, does not care. They don't blame Democrats or Republicans. They call it America's fault. And they say, well, it's the mechanism of white supremacy. Well, then why is it that Asian Americans are doing the best in our society and our culture per race, which is not even a discussion I like to have, mind you. The left is so fixated on racism. They're so fixated on race. They use this as tools and tactics to divide us. And Charlemagne says, well, until someone dismantles it, nothing will change. Well, Obama had 8 years to dismantle it, and it didn't change. Here's why. Charlemagne the God doesn't want Obama-style radicalism. He wants AOC-style arson. The left are the real racists. And Charlemagne's knee-jerk use of the term white supremacy, when we as conservatives spot it and identify and stamp it out of our ranks. And let me just say this, and in some ways I wish Rush would have said this, but I know why he didn't, because he's trying to heal a country. Rush should have asked Charlemagne, what evidence do you have that Derek Chauvin acted on racism? We do not have that evidence. We have conjecture. We have fake evidence that the failed rapper Ice Cube tried to share on social media. And this all connects to that Nation article by Ellie Mistal. Proves that they are projecting their own racism onto America. The left are the real racists. And guess what? People say, well, we really need to come together as a country. I know why Rush is doing what he's doing, and God bless him. I'm not there. I'm going to call out these arsonists for who they are. I'm going to call out these racists for who they are. The plantation owners that were owning plantation in the 1870s and defended them, the Democrats back then, and the people that are owning ideological plantations that are trying to use black people as pawns in a broader agenda. I'm going to say this as the closing argument of this podcast, and there's more coming this week. We're going to expose Antifa. We're going to find out their funding sources. We have a expert coming on the show, so make sure you type in Charlie Kirk Show, hit subscribe, and give us those 5-star reviews. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Get engaged, get involved, start a chapter. But this is my final argument. What kind of country do you want to live in? Criminals, anarchists, arsonists, they will not stop unless they are met with force. And do you know what arsonists and anarchists have in common with Charlemagne the God? Charlemagne the God pushes forth lies. Anarchists and arsonists push forth Molotov cocktails. Liars and Molotov cocktails will not stop unless they are challenged head-on and directly with courage and conviction. Western society was not built by us hanging out in our basements hoping for things to get better. Pick yourself up. Speak the truth. I get lots of messages on freedom@charliekirk.com, and people say, Charlie, I don't know what to do with this social media post. People are calling me these awful names. Well, get used to it if you want to stand for truth. If you want to make friends, then never talk about politics again. We're talking about very high-stakes games here, folks. This is the future of our country at stake. And we are seeing 40 American cities burning in front of our eyes through a paramilitary operation, the worst domestic terror attack since 9/11. And we have Mayor Bill de Blasio, Mayor Eric Garcetti, and American politicians defending it. So we better get wise, tough, smart, and active, or else we're not going to have a country anymore. We have Senator Tom Cotton coming up, so make sure you're subscribed. Get tough. Find the courage. America's lacking courage right now. I am going to fight until I cannot fight any longer. I'm on the front lines of it. I'm running the largest organization in the country, Turning Point USA, that puts the left on defense on college campuses, and one of the largest, most powerful organizations that does it in general. And there's very few that do it alongside us. PragerU and Judicial Watch, just to name a couple that do it. And I don't want to say that's a totally exhaustive list, but so many groups are like, well, we have to go along to get along. No. They're burning our country. Play offense. Be civil, not violent, but don't let them destroy America. Thanks for listening, everybody. God bless. Stay engaged. More to come soon.